Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. Good to have you all with us here once again. We're about to talk about Haiti. 4 years after this earthquake leveled Port-au-Prince, killing more than 100,000 people, 2.3 million people homeless, tens of thousands of structures destroyed. There's a lot of question about what has come since and what has happened to the money and what has happened to the people. Still, 70% of Haitians lack access to electricity. 600,000 food insecure. 25% of the kids are not yet back in school, but many more are. That number also says displacement camps are still there. Questions about where the money went and what is being rebuilt is actually being rebuilt. We have a tendency to forget Haiti unless it jumps in the news, but it's a central country on the planet Earth. The first independent black nation post-colonialism on this planet, a country that has been controlled by the U.S. for so long and other forces. And we're going to reflect on that today. Yves Colon is with us, a journalist, has worked in development media in Haiti, where he led the U.S.-funded AID project on civic education through community radio. Emil Wilentz is with us, a journalist who has written many books. Her latest, Farewell, Fred Voodoo, A Letter from Haiti, was just nominated for a National Book Award, the National Book Critics Circle Award. And Wax Hambu is with us, originally from Limbe, Haiti, is a founding member of the Montreal-based hip-hop collective Nomadic Massive and executive producer of the upcoming documentary film called Jerry about Haitian graffiti artist Jerry Moise Rosebart. And good to have you all with us.
Thanks.
Hello, thank you.
Thank you all for being with us. Amy, let me begin with you. And welcome. Good to have you back on the show with us.
Thanks.
I was reading the piece you wrote as well on your website, another piece you wrote for The Nation. And, you know, all the years you've been covering Haiti, you have a deep passion for the nation and analysis of what's going on. Just lay out for us, I'll let our other kind of guests come back to Yves Colon to kind of respond, where you see the world of Haiti now and what has happened since the earthquake, especially when it comes to the money spent and not spent.
Well, what we've seen in Haiti was, first of all, a massive international response to the earthquake and the damage it caused. And now what we're seeing is the departure of the international community that came down to help. So I think you're seeing Haitians move into the space that the kind of reconstruction and development people from abroad were occupying before. It's very interesting to see what's happening. You know, only half of the money that was promised was eventually dispersed. And that kind of money, when it comes in such massive quantities, doesn't usually get right into the hands of the destination population. What usually happens is it goes more to the payroll of the organizations that are funding projects in the target country. And that's what happened with a lot of the money that was supposed to go to Haiti. It went to the huge organizations that were there helping. It's not surprising Haiti has a tradition of foreigners believing that the only way to help Haitians is to help the foreigners who are directing the development of Haiti rather than the Haitians themselves. So as you see that group, a huge group of foreigners who were not working always all together and in cooperation, leaving the country, I think you see Haitians themselves stepping into the space that was occupied by the people who were outsiders but deciding how Haitian development should move. And you see the Haitians taking control of that themselves. Of course, they do it without the benefit of an organizing and controlling government. And that's one of the biggest problems for Haiti, that the government is lax and often still looking for opportunities for corruption and for sucking money out of the process. And there were lots of opportunities when the foreigners were there with all that money to spend. So they say things like what someone recently said to the reporter for the Miami Herald, Jacqueline Charles, that one of the government officials said, well, that will require a lot of time for reflection, which to me translates as I'm looking for opportunities to be corrupt. So you see a lot of that at the same time that you see Haitians coming into the former ad hoc camps and starting to build cities, which may eventually, because of a lax government, turn into a kind of new shanty towns in Haiti.
And when was the last time you were in Haiti?
It was almost a year ago now.
You were last in a year ago.
So I haven't been doing on the ground reporting so much as just keeping an eye on things through my contacts and reading other journalists, of course.
And Yves Colon, let me hear your take on the same idea, if you would.
Well, you know, I was in Haiti a month ago, and I could see that there is, some progress being made in terms of relocating people. The tent cities had been cleared somewhat, but there are huge, huge problems still left behind. Of course, you know, Haiti came with the problems before the earthquake, and the earthquake only brought to light some of many, many of these problems. You know, where the money went, Mark, is really hard to say because, relocating people is very expensive. But the problem with Haiti is that there are so many NGOs in Haiti, and it seems like most of the money is going towards, keeping these NGOs going. I was part of those, one of those NGOs myself. And it seems like, so much of the money goes into salaries and so forth that, it's really hard to see the benefit at times, of what this money is doing anyway. But, it's a huge endeavor, relocating more than about a million people, into homes, building homes for them and so forth. So it's really hard to say, but you could see a little bit being done, but there's so much being, necessary, needed anyway.
And Vox, your take, then I have a very specific question about where the future is going. Vox?
Yes, after 4 years, and I don't know if you have a chance to see the video about Jerry that Nomadic Wax just released. It's more youth like Jerry are being more try to take charge in their own way. They're trying to contribute because they understand for Haiti to get better, they cannot wait and expect other people from abroad to come and help. And they gather themselves, start organizing themselves, and to contribute as much as they can. And this is what we're trying to do with Nomadic Wax, is to put those youth, give them a voice, because we know in the Haitian media, or even when it comes to the election or democracy, and the youth, they're not even asked about their opinion. And now I can see that there's a momentum. That's what I stay hopeful, that more and more Haitian youth would get together and start denunciating what's going on in Haiti in terms of the cholera, where you have more than 9,000 people have been killed by the cholera disease that was introduced by the minister, the UN in Haiti. And until now, there is no reparation whatsoever. The family, they don't have any information or what's going to happen to them. And so Haitian youth in Haiti and the diaspora, they really starting to denunciate that.
I mean, I'm curious, what you've been writing, I'd like you all to kind of comment on this, that this juxtaposition of the money promise, only less than half being spent, how the infrastructure of Haiti is being built. I mean, things I've read, and maybe this is wrong or right, I've not been there, so I don't know, but people are talking about the structures being built in Haiti are not being built, especially where people are living, to withstand another earthquake. And Haiti does live on this, I hope I say it correctly, Enriquillo Plantain Garden Fault that could erupt at any time. So I wonder, what do we know about what's being rebuilt, how it's being rebuilt, and for who?
Hi, are you there, Mark?
I am. I'm waiting for you, Amy, and then we'll go to Eve.
Okay, well, the way it's being rebuilt is, look, there were As the New York Times wrote in an editorial recently, $14 billion were promised to Haiti after the earthquake by the international community. About half of that was actually dispersed. And during that time, 4 years, $14 billion promised, 7,500 homes were constructed. That is a scandal, okay? For a displaced population of 2 million, 7,500 homes, with the entire international community supposedly working to build housing for the displaced Haitians. So what the Haitians have done, as they always will do, is they've built themselves. And they're not going to build to code. They're not in Southern California. They don't have the means. They don't have FEMA. They don't have an organized group working for them and with them with resources. So they build the way they've always built. And that was the kind of building that fell down on them in the earthquake, causing so many casualties. It's not going to be like here. I'm in Los Angeles, by the way, for all of you who are listening. And you can't expect it to. And I admire the Haitians for building at all. I know that a lot of them are hesitating. They don't want to build because they're afraid that they'll be kicked out of the land that they're living on. The land that they're living on, in many cases, is useless land that's owned by some of the biggest families in Haiti. And they are, now that they see that the land can be valuable since the earthquake, they're refusing to just donate it for the greater good of the country. So no one knows who even owns the land. You go there, you want to build a house for yourself, but you can't build it for yourself because you're not sure you're not going to be kicked off the next day.
So Yves Colon, I mean, that's a reality. And how do you think that that Haitians address that? And how have you observed it as a journalist?
I couldn't hear very well, Amy, because of the connection. But, you know, I think I heard your question about whether there's any kind of anything being done to avoid what happened before. But I don't think that's really the reality. The reality is that the needs are just so great that for housing specifically, because, as I said before, Haiti's needs are, you know, from human rights to jobs, to housing, you know, they're all at the apex, you know. The need for housing is just so great that people are moving onto land that's not their own. People are building the kind of structures that have that fell down in the earthquake. They are doing the same, making the same kind of mistakes that they made before. So, and the government and no one else really has any kind of power or resources, really, to help people build the kind of structure that would withstand the next kind of earthquake. So, you know, it's just that people are desperate for a place to live. The earthquake basically kind of brought to light this great need of housing. And now people have been living in tents for the past 4 years, and whenever they have the opportunity that there's an open piece of land, they settle on it, they put up their own cement blocks or whatever they do. So there is no really structure there to guard against making the same mistakes and the same kind of disaster happening again.
So, Vox, I'm curious, when was the last time you were back home in Limbe?
I was back there in March with my parents, and my parents, they still live in Limbe. I speak to them every day, even this morning. And right now, we have a lot of problems, for example, diabetes problem. Last night, there's one of our neighbors that I grew up with. He was a teacher, and then he died last night because of this diabetes. So I would like to second what said earlier. The fact that we have the structure is very, very, very bad. So, and even though people are trying to build to stay somewhere, they're looking for houses, or the government of the Haitian government try to take the camp out, put them somewhere else, but you don't have any follow up. Those people that was displaced, where did they go? Nobody doing the follow-up to see if they have any needs, if they are living properly. And not too long ago, and on Saturday, I think, there's this camp that was like burned, where you have four people died in that fire. So that's to tell you there's no really a follow-up or structure. And the reason why, and we know that Haiti has been occupied since 2004, and now it's really the people that is occupied Haiti, the government, to take the responsibility. And the same people that occupy Haiti, the ones that bring cholera to Haiti, they have to step up and take responsibility and repair the Haitian people.
So, Amy, you know, I was just hearing what Vaux was saying, and I'm thinking about the kind of conversations we do not have here in this country about Haiti and what we need to be what needs to be debated and thought about in terms of what happens next. I mean, how do we all think that Haiti regains its power? That since the Duvaliers have been overthrown, there's been chaos, earthquakes, Aristide tossed out twice, Lavalas not allowed to run in the elections. I mean, what's our thought about how Haiti can become its nation again?
You know, sometimes I look at what's happening and, you know, as you said, Aristide thrown out twice, Lavalas not allowed to participate in elections. All those elections run essentially by the outside community. Martelly now, an incompetent who's president. It's just, to me, the outside influence, and I just can't say it strongly enough, has been for the negative, not for the positive. And the huge opportunity that was wasted with all this money coming in and people behaving like what development people call mobile sovereigns, these outsiders who move all over the country, spending money however they want, without any oversight or control, it's a scandal. And I think I was interested to read again in this Miami Herald piece how USAID, there is a mission director there named John Groke, and he said, donors come in here and they sort of do things for Haitians. Oh, he just noticed. And then he says, we need to move beyond that and begin to help Haitians help themselves. Officials say this is part of a new thinking of allowing Haitians to take control of their own development. Well, I must say, a big giant duh. If Haitians take control of their own development, incredible things will happen. They may happen sort of scattershot, but they'll happen because people have needs and they won't be waiting for, you know, some great outsider buona to pay for it and get it done, which the outsider doesn't do. That's what really transpired here. We don't help them, really. We're helping ourselves in development in Haiti, at least, and I think elsewhere. And that's not good for the Haitian people. It's not good for Haiti. I hate to feed into a kind of conservative narrative, but really after what I've seen after the earthquake, I have to say that Haitians, who've always known that they're better off by themselves, might well be better off by themselves in some kind of controlled relationship with the outside world, where Haiti has responsibility for itself and has a respectable, bearable government working for the people instead of these kind of leechy, business-oriented governments that don't really think about the people and that forcibly evict people living in camps to go where. So, you know, I think Haiti needs a good rethink inside itself as well as from us.
So we have about 2 minutes left, unfortunately, in this segment. And the Vaux, a quick thought, and then we'll go to Eve for what you just heard Amy say. Vaux?
Sorry?
I'm just curious. We only have like 2 minutes left. I just want to get a quick thought from you and Eve in response to what Amy was just describing.
Yes, I completely agree. I completely agree. The Haitian people have to take charge. And for example, I'm from Lembe. Nobody knows Lembe more than myself or somebody that is from there, like the specific needs that we have. And I think in terms of the international community, they have to maybe ask the government or the people, the representative, to send them letters, tell them, you know, to give them answers about what's going on in Haiti. They should leave the Haitian people to take care of themselves. and stop occupying the sovereign land. And in terms of us, Nomadic Wax and myself, it really contribute to the arts, because we know the Haitian youth, they are so talented, and there are so many beautiful stories that not being shared with around the world, and we're going to keep on sharing the stories with people.
And Yves Colon, a final thought.
Well, you know, I couldn't hear really what Amy was saying, but I got the gist of it. But, you know, what I think is that, yes, Haitians cannot take care of themselves by themselves. Like everybody else, they need the international community to help. But what they need, I think, is the kind of help they need is the kind of help that's going to be, you know, working with Haitians instead of just, you know, coming in and telling and doing things for Haitians. You know, one of the best ways to do that, I think, is to support education. You know, education, the Haitians are desperate for, you know, a decent education. I am a board member of an organization that gives scholarships to young Haitians. We give 150 scholarships a year to study in college in Haiti. And we're only doing it right now, we only have 150 students. And the organization is called the Haitian Education Leadership Program, HELP, H-E-L-P. And it's at youhelp.net. And what we do is that, you know, if we could have this kind of program, you know, multiply by tens and hundreds, then we really would give Haitians would really be helping themselves, because at least they would have the education that they need to be creating, to be finding the solutions to their own problems. Right now, and the international community has to work with that. And the, you know, Haitians need the international community to give them a hand, because education is very expensive. That's how Haitians can, you know, right the ship, basically, with more education. With they would be creating jobs. They would be figuring out their human rights problems with the right leadership in place, because that is so important, the leadership that it needs to be in place. So that's my take on that.
We're just about out of time. I want to thank you, Yves Colon, journalist who helped set up community radio in Haiti. Amy, the journalist and author, Amy Willen's latest book, Farewell Fred Voodoo, of Wak Sambu, who is finishing a documentary on Jerry about Haitian graffiti artist Jerry Moise Rosambert. Thank you all three for being with us, and appreciate you taking the time with our listeners. Look forward to talking to you all again as we explore Haiti.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thank you all very much, really. We're going to take a very brief break, and when we return, we come back to our weekly segment, Soundbites. Stay with us.